on the Horn is presented by Corona. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
28th, Israel Gutierrez, tighten up in showdown. DeAndre Hopkins' decision to tighten up, to go to Tennessee when he had his pick of any team in the National Football League. He said he wanted to play with a contender and with a quarterback, Clinton. How game-changing is this decision for Tennessee?
Not very much. I mean, even the Tennessee Titans don't necessarily even know who their QB is. I think he went to the team where he knows the most people, and he was going to be able to get the most money, which is smart for the stage of his career.
Israel?
Well, he said he wanted to play for contender. Did he say this year? Because it doesn't feel like the Titans are going to contend. I do think he's going to get his numbers up, though, because their leading receiver last year was Robert Woods with 520-something, and he's not on the team anymore.
They could have had A.J. Brown a few years ago. Does he go the same route as Randy Moss and Julio Jones as Andre Johnson stat-wise? Because that didn't go up for them. We'll split the point. We'll move on. Showdown 2. Two wow performances from All-Star Weekend. Jewel Lloyd, 31, the scoring record in the All-Star game as the MVP. But we're still wowing over the day before. Sabrina Ionescu in the three. She hit 25 of 27 shots. Yes, we're going to show them all super fast because this is just incredible. Israel, what's the takeaway from All-Star Weekend?
I mean, to me, it's Ionescu kicking off the weekend like that. When you've got Steph Curry tweeting about you and saying he wants to challenge you in a three-point shooting contest, that's a huge deal. Mm-hmm.
Clinton Yates.
Not only did she hit 25 of 27 and got Steph coming off the golf course making points about her, she made 20 in a row. We can't do 20 in a row of anything, anybody in this room, in order to win something. And she managed to nail that.
Clinton Yates threw 20 seconds in a row here for FaceTime.
The Women's World Cup begins this week down in Australia and New Zealand, and I know that everybody's focused on the U.S. Women's National Team potentially getting three in a row, but the exciting part about this tournament is that it has expanded. There are more teams, there are 8 first-timers. I don't want to get this wrong. Haiti, Morocco, Panama, the Philippines, Portugal, Republic of Ireland, Vietnam, and Zambia. This experience for all of these young ladies who get to do something new on the larger stage is going to be fantastic to watch. It ain't just us versus the world. The whole globe is going to be there.
So close.
Thank you, Clinton Yates. That's it for today. 23.5 hour break. See you tomorrow around the horn.
Happy Hour is presented by Corona. Please drink responsibly.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Pablo Torre. And Tony, you were off all last week, so I am here to welcome you back.
Where's Wilbon? I would have stayed on vacation. Hi. Everything good?
What, Delaware? You wanted to be alone, alone on the beach instead of hanging out with me? That's where we are in our relationship.
No, I don't go to the beach, believe me. I found out after I bought the house that I didn't like the sand. But I played a lot of golf. I did do that.
An important wrinkle.
Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. Wilbon trashed me last week for missing shows, but where is he today exactly? Picking up his slack is our great friend, a man who needs to up his sign game, Mr. Pablo Torre.
He's all right.
Man, you should have paid more for clapping. That wasn't much. And we begin today with Carlos Alcaraz beating Novak Djokovic yesterday in 5 sets in 4 hours and 42 minutes, denying Djokovic not only his 5th straight Wimbledon title, but the potential Grand Slam this year. Twice, when he lost the first set 6-1, and then when he lost the 4th set 6-3, it appeared Alcaraz would not beat Djokovic. But the 20-year-old did something nobody does to Djokovic, beat him in the tiebreaker in the 2nd set, and held him off in the 5th. Pablo, does this feel like the changing of the guard?
Yes, and I feel like the word change is probably not strong enough. It feels like an explosion of the guard, an evolution of the guard. It's one of those athletes, Tony, Alcaraz is, who makes it easy on the casuals. He makes it easy to understand that something special is happening here because there are lots of tennis historical levels that we could get to as to why this is so special, and you can get to those. But for me, it was obvious. It was a guy who was a sprinter, who was running a marathon, who had the psychology of being down big early and then coming back, the physiology to be not just artistic, but to be brutally imposing. I mean, he has everything, Tony, and I expect him to win everything from here on out.
Yeah, so he's the one. Alcaraz is the one. He's better than Medvedev. He's better than Tsitsipas. He's better than Kyrgios. He's better than anybody that you can name. He has already won the U.S. Open on hard court. He has now won Wimbledon on allegedly his worst surface, grass. He was born and raised on clay, so you know he's going to win the French. He's the one. But, and there's always a but to the story, that doesn't mean that Djokovic won't beat him in the U.S. Open in September. It doesn't mean Djokovic won't beat him in the Australian Open in January. Alcaraz will leave Djokovic behind, but maybe not in the near term. People who watch this show know that I'm no fan of Djokovic. But I will tell you, Pablo, that in watching that match yesterday, I think Djokovic ennobled himself in the fourth and fifth sets, particularly in the fourth set, when after the third, and Alcaraz had all the momentum, he could have run Djokovic off the court. And I thought he ennobled himself again on court in the post-game ceremony with the very gracious and yet forthright stuff that he said about not wanting to lose and wanting to get back as good as Alcaraz was. So while I believe it's a changing of the guard, where you and I maybe differ is the immediacy of it.
But this is, Tony, where I listened to Djokovic as you did, and I listened to what he said post-game, and he said that he has never seen a player like this. Yeah. He is a combination of everybody in that previous guard, of Nadal and Federer and him. And so when you take into account that this was his fourth tournament on grass, his fourth, I mean, the idea of the stock chart here, Tony, it's just one of those things where I want to get in as soon as I can, and I'm pretty sure it's already too late.
I get that. I mean, I was happy that Alcaraz held up physically. He cramped up in the French Open. And you could see him in the changeovers. He was drinking whatever stuff they were handing him, the anti-cramp stuff. And I will say this about Djokovic. And he's 15 years older. And he was being run all around the court. But he held up physically as well. Djokovic got beat. He didn't lose that. He got beat.
Yes, but I want to move to golf here because there were two notable results this weekend, people beating everybody in front of them. Because on the real tour, Rory McIlroy went birdie-birdie on 17 and 18 to win the Scottish Open, the last tune-up before this week's British Open. And over in Lake Tahoe, Tony, Steph Curry eagled 18 to win the Celebrity Classic. So you are obviously the golf authority in my life. Was Rory's or Steph's win the bigger deal here?
All right, so what Steph Curry did was very nice. I think he got a hole-in-one previously in the tournament, and then he eagled 18 and he won it. Marty Fish got hosed on 18 when some clown started making noises in his backswing on the tee shot at 18, which is completely wrong. But the Curry moment is lovely. He picks up the kid. And look, everybody loves Steph Curry. But let me be very clear on this. This is golf, but it's not tournament golf. It's not meaningful golf. It's exhibition athlete golf, okay? I can't make it any more clear. It's a wonderful thing that he won, but it's not, what Rory did is 1,000 times more important than what Steph Curry did. He won a real live tournament, the Scottish Open. He birdied 17 and 18 after missing a very makeable putt, birdie putt on 16. So much like Alcaraz, in the moment, Rory McIlroy got better, and it was real golf, right? Real golf.
But Tony, but I can take everything you said about the Tahoe Pro-Am, and I can throw it in the face of Rory McIlroy for just winning the Scottish Open. Because you know that all we're waiting for is what happens at a major. All we are waiting for is Rory McIlroy to prove that a Scottish Open is a prelude to something that he has been famously indicted for choking at. And so to me, what I take away from this is truly marveling at Steph Curry. And I don't want to go all Wilbon on you and make it all about the NBA, but Steph Curry, man,
please don't.
I have been told that he has the greatest neuromuscular system that anyone has ever seen in sports. What does this mean? It means that he can hit threes better than anybody else. And apparently he can do this stuff on a golf course. So for me, I think about the bounty that God has granted to this man that, yes, everybody loves. And I'm wondering, you know, let's see it tested. I want to see Steph doing this more. I want to see him taking it beyond the pro-am level because that's how impressed I am.
Okay, but he's not going to go on tour because he's a great basketball player. And you're 100% right about Rory McIlroy, who has not won a this is a major coming up. At a place where he has won,
threes,
at Royal
Rory.
Liverpool, where
that?
He has won. He has not won a major in 9 years since the PGA in 2014. And when the British Open a few years back was in Northern Ireland, his home, you know, at Royal Portrush, he didn't even make the cut. There's all sorts of pressure on him that there's not on John Rahm, that there's not on John Rahm, rather, that there's not on Cam Smith. I mean, it's different. It's all on Rory because he comes in as the favorite. But, I mean, if you think that Steph Curry is going to play Rory McIlroy 10 times and beat him more than zero, you'd be wrong.
Can Rory shoot a three, Tony? Can he shoot a three? Let's see it the other way, too, then, just for fairness' sake.
No one is sitting on this show saying Rory should quit golf and start shooting threes to test his neuromuscular system.
Not with that.
Son of doctors. I couldn't even do that. We turn now to baseball, where Jason Stark has written about the possibility of a Legends home run derby. The genesis of this was Ken Griffey Jr. saying on MLB Network he'd like to do it. And then Albert Pujols, Jim Thome, and David Ortiz said they would do it too. Pablo, does a Legends home run derby sound like a promising idea?
Tony, of course it does. You're talking to me. One of my favorite things in my work life is coming to you and hearing an old guy play the hits. I love this, Tony. I love all of this. You're telling me that anybody who even vaguely remembers who any of these guys are, we want to find out what it would be like. And yes, is there an expendable sort of like one last job, you know, kind of vibe to all of this? Sure, but I don't care. I want to see if they can do it. And it's more interesting to me to see them do it than a guy who obviously can do it in an actual major league game.
This is interesting because the breakdown is obviously going to be on age here. I have trepidation about this, and it comes from the fact that I can no longer drive a golf ball even 200 yards, even when I hit it well. I can't drive it 200 yards. I'm a lot older than the people that we have mentioned. Maybe they still have pop. Maybe physiology has not claimed them. But I'm wondering, I mean, do we really want to see these people up there after 20 swings? Are they going to get better or are they going to get worse? Or are they going to get hurt in the batter's box? Do we need to juice the ball? Do we need to juice the players? Do we need to move the fence in
juice
a little
them.
Bit? Do we need to move the fence in? How would you, we can't have them take swings forever. How would you orchestrate it?
Oh, you got to bring back the old format of the home run derby, right? It's got to be the effective 9-inning game, right? A swing, a miss, an out. Like, you shorten it, Tony. You really got to shorten it. You go full nostalgia on it. But I just like the idea that, like all old guys, apparently, they sit around, Jim Thome sits around texting everybody else. I can do that. I can do that.
Yeah.
And I just want to I want to call them on this bluff. I want to call them on this bluff because if they can, they should never let us live. They should never let us live it down if they're right.
So I have two things to talk about. One is I don't want to sit around for hours wait for a third or fourth home run that is never showing up because they've lost pop. You know, I think that's something to worry about. But of the guys that we've mentioned, everybody wants to see Ken Griffey Jr. swing.
Yeah.
But I would bet on Pujols. I'd bet on Pujols. Pujols played last year. If I'm not mistaken, he had like 20 home runs in August and September. I mean, I think
that's
he
right.
can
he
still take it out.
Year.
I'm not sure about the others. Let's take a break. Coming up, how big an impact could DeAndre Hopkins have on your Titans?
And what should Miami and MLS expect out of Lionel Messi?
Steph Curry's a wonderful golfer. He is. He's not a pro golfer, though. You know? I mean, that was hit and giggle. That was like the match.
I just want to watch him do the no-look eagle. I want to see that on a real, actual golf course.
Pardon the interruption is presented by Corona. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Pardon the Interruption, presented by Corona, part of Happy Hour.
It's mail time. It's time to find out what's cracking with the commoners.
Mail time!
Not the Commodores, the commoners. Let's get the first one. Here we go. DeAndre Hopkins to the Titans. Big deal, little deal, no deal.
Oh, this is a deal, Tony, but it's a deal specific to the context of the Titans because the Titans have the worst wide receiver room in all of the NFL, and they are a really dismal team as a result of that. So to me, DeAndre Hopkins makes this decision. I'm going to go to a place where I'm probably not going to win as much as I could if I went to, say, I don't know, New England even, but in Tennessee, he's going to matter. And so it's a deal insofar as a team that refuses to tank, refuses to rebuild, gets a guy to be the number one receiver for a rookie quarterback in Will Levis. That's a good fit for DeAndre Hopkins specifically.
I think it actually could be a big deal along the lines of what you're saying. I think last year, Tennessee and Baltimore had the worst wide receiving cores in all of football among teams that you would have thought were pretty good. If I have this correct, the leading touchdown receiver on Tennessee had four touchdowns, and he was a running back. He wasn't even a wide receiver. So you look at Ryan Tannehill, who's had progressively bad seasons. He went from 33 touchdown passes to 21 to 13. And you say, does he have anything left? And does Hopkins, at 31 years old in his 11th season, does he have anything left? Because if they do, and you've got Derrick Henry, the Titans could be back to where they were, say, two or 3 years ago. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen, but I did hear this, that when Hopkins was really good in Houston, Tim Kelly, I believe his name was the play caller, and Mike Vrabel was on that staff as a coordinator. They're both on Tennessee.
Yep, remembers him.
So maybe, maybe that augurs well. Maybe. I don't know. Here's the next one. This is a long one. Lionel Messi was introduced to 18,000 fans in the rain in Miami last night. What should MLS and Inter Miami expect out of Messi?
They should expect a folk hero. Tony, the whole promise of Leo Messi, who is not yet 40, coming over to America and showing up at a Publix and blending in unlike he ever has been able to do anywhere else on this planet, is that there is a folk hero aspect to this. And now we just got to watch him play on the worst team in MLS. Inter Miami is dead last. So as long as Leo Messi can be anything like the Leo Messi we have seen before everywhere else, this has a giant success written all over it because the bar is incredibly low.
Yeah, so I mean, I think the first thing that MLS and Inter Miami should expect is to sell a lot of tickets. Every single place he goes will be sold out. Everybody wants to see him. My questions, as someone who saw Pelé come over and all of those people when the North American Soccer League was going around grabbing people like Cruyff and Canalia. Mm-hmm. You know, my question is, he's 36 years old, I believe, Messi, in a sport where all you do is run all the time. I don't know if he has any particular regard for United States soccer. I don't know why he would. He's played on a lot higher levels than that. They apparently went and got a coach that he likes, and they're going to bring some of the players he played with. And so to make the basketball analogy, it sort of has that LeBron to the Lakers feel, you know, where they gather a whole lot of people that LeBron knew
at
various stages in his career. Yeah, so I mean, and I think for 2 years it'll be fun to watch. I don't have any particular expectations that they're going to be good because apparently they are stinkingly bad now, right? I mean, is he going to transform them?
think, and the offense, the way they play soccer in America, the way we play soccer here in America, it should be disgusting to Leo Messi. Leo Messi he likes to orchestrate, and we like to run up and down, back and forth, like our heads are cut off. So as long as he likes it, I think that'll be a win.
Enough email. Let's take one last break. Still to come, Aaron Rodgers sounds upset about the Jets being on Hard Knocks. Really?
And is Joel Embiid, Tony, is he open to leaving?
He's your boy. He's your process boy. What do you think?
The toughest large adult son I ever had. Joel Embiid. I'm already mad.
Maybe he could go to Inter Miami.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Corona. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Happy time, people. Happy 18th birthday, Connor Bedard. The hockey phenom and number one overall draft pick by the Chicago Blackhawks comes into the NHL with the same kind of credentials and excitement that Victor Wembanyama brings to the NBA. Bedard had 71 goals and 72 assists this past season in just 57 games. In Canada's Western Hockey League. In the 2023 World Junior Tournament, Bedard led Canada to the gold medal with 9 goals and 14 assists in just 7 games. The night the Blackhawks took him number one, Bedard said, quote, "I want to have an impact on the ice and in the room, to be a teammate and give my all every day," unquote.
Tony, the headlines are saying that this is the LeBron James of hockey, and to him and Victor Wembanyama, I just say, psychology. We praised Alcaraz's psychology earlier. Psychology is as important when you get that level of hype. And by the way, I guess the other piece of advice is if Britney Spears tries to reach out to you and touch you, maybe have your security guard, you know, take a little easy on her next time you're in Vegas.
Good reference. Happy anniversary, Deion Sanders. On this day 33 years ago, while playing with the Yankees, the baseball and football star drilled a liner to center field that got past the diving baseball and football star, Bo Jackson. The ball rolled all the way to the Yankee Stadium wall and primetime never hesitated. He took a wide turn around third, made an acrobatic leap to touch home plate, missing it initially, then going back and touching it just before the Kansas City catcher put the tag on him. Sanders had 39 career homers, 3 of which were these inside the park jobs. Willie Wilson, though, had 12 of his career 41 this way.
But that magical summer of 1990 when both Deion and Bo Jackson were both playing baseball and football and it looked like they would just be at each other's throats for the entire year in both sports, it was so glorious. And then, of course, Bo Jackson gets hurt in 1991, and it's never as good as it was in that play we just showed.
I'm surprised you haven't asked both of them to play golf after the Steph Curry situation. Happy trails to extensions for Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs by today's franchise tag deadline. Barkley failed to reach an agreement with the Giants and Jacobs with the Raiders. Yahoo reports that the two are preparing to sit out portions of training camp rather than report under the terms of the franchise tag, which for running backs is just over $10 million this season. These two put up huge numbers last season, but running back is a brutal position and often a replaceable one, so teams are reluctant to devote big, long-term dollars to it. Because Barkley and Jacobs have not signed the tag, they cannot be fined for missing camp, which starts in 8 days for both teams.
Yeah, Tony, typically the nerd take is to declare how this is economically the right choice, but I just want to point out how tough it is, how horrible it is for Josh Jacobs to lead the NFL in rushing yards and yards from scrimmage, and for Saquon Barkley to be as essential as he obviously is to his team in a contract year, essentially, and to get nothing for it because, yes, the economy is that way. Just unfortunate time to be a running back.
It's remarkable to me. I mean, obviously, there must be some sort of analytics that say running backs don't matter. The yardage that they've gotten, how can they not matter, right? How can they not matter? We're running out of show when we go to the big finish. Your boy Joel Embiid said, quote, "I just want to win a championship. I don't know where that's going to be, whether it's in Philly or anywhere else," unquote. So read the tea leaves for us.
Yeah, the tea leaves look like a giant middle finger made of tea leaves. Shohei Ohtani hit his 34th homer and is on pace for 58. Your thoughts?
He's so great. I wonder where he's going to be playing August 1st. Yankees first baseman Anthony Rizzo has gone a career record 164 straight plate appearances without a home run. That's cause for concern, no?
It is. And also, I hope that Shohei Ohtani comes to the Yankees to alleviate that cause for concern. But regarding the Jets being on Hard Knocks, Aaron Rodgers told KPIX, quote, "They forced it down our throats and we got to live with it," end quote. Are you sympathetic to that?
No, he's going to be the greatest quote ever on that show, and then he'll call McAfee up and tell him all the bad stuff about the show. Last one, Summer League final tonight, Rockets and Cavs. Are you intrigued?
I kind of am. Amone Bates has been amazing for the Cavs. I want to watch him, actually.
Watch it for me, too, okay? We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. Ben and Terry Lynn, shout out.
Ooh, and I'm Pablo Torre. Will Bond's back tomorrow, don't worry, but go to www.pablo.show for more of this guy. But for now, your SportsCenter.
Look what we got. We got the Pablo Show.
Yeah.